Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
So, this morning, what I want to do is we're going to be looking, continuing just what we looked at last time. If we've got it on there, knowing where you stand. Turn to the person next to you and say, God wants you to know where you stand. Know where you stand. Because the truth is this, not knowing where you stand or not knowing something can get you in trouble. Yes? So when I was 24, before I got married, I was engaged to Becky and I hurt my back playing football. And who knows, when you get injured playing sport, you get no sympathy. Is that right, ladies? Or men in today's world. But and so I hurt my back. And so Becky said, stop moaning about this back when we was dating and please go and see a chiropractor or someone like that. So I went to, I've never been to one before, so I didn't really know what to do. Because not knowing something gets you in trouble. So I booked an appointment and I went in and this female receptionist said, hello. I said, hello back. She said, what are you in for? And I said, I'm here to see someone about my back. And she took some of my details. And then a female, I opened the door. And it was a female chiropractor. She said, hello. I said, hello back. And she said, well, can you just come in and get changed and I'll just get your details from the receptionist. See, not knowing something can get you in trouble. So I got changed. And when she came back into the room, I knew something was wrong. Because it's a long time ago, but she said something like this. Mr. Dilnot, can you go and get your underwear back on? That is an embarrassing thing. Yes? It got even more embarrassing that I think I'd come from swimming or something and I didn't have any. So she had to, so I said, what are we going to do? So she had to chiropract my back with my jeans on. And you know when you get so embarrassed is that I'm thinking, I'm either going to run out of here right now because this is really awkward and or I'm just going to brave it and go with it. So I had to spend around 40 minutes just feeling really embarrassed. And then the funny thing was, is when I left, this is true, there was a window open to the reception and I heard the chiropractor run out to the reception and say, that guy's just come here with no clothes on. So that was just my funny story. You see, not knowing something, because I've never been before, I didn't know really what was happening or what to do. Someone said, get changed. You get changed, right? Wrong. Just so if you ever go, you know now what not to do. And so that was an embarrassing story because not knowing something can get you in trouble. On the flip side of that, knowing something can get you out of trouble, and not just out of trouble, but knowing something can change your life. You see, about 10 years ago, a guy in the church used to be the medic for the paratroopers in the army. And we often went to Starbucks and we would talk over coffee. And he would tell me some amazing stories about these undercover operations that the paratroopers undertook. And, you know, his job was the medic. So he would see crazy stuff happen. And he used to tell me stories of, you know, the aeroplane going behind enemy lines and you dropped in the middle of nowhere in pitch darkness. Yes. And you've got to engage with an enemy. And I asked this question to once, and I said, knowing what you went through, and as you are stood at the back of the plane, ready to jump out into pitch darkness, into a war zone, what's going through your mind? Because if it was me, I would be, you know, getting my seatbelt back on. I said, what's going through your mind? And he answered me really quick, and it really will always stay with me. He said, Andy, that's simple. He says, as I'm stood on the back of the plane, ready to jump out into the pitch darkness, the one thing that's in my mind is my squadron motto. And I said, what's that? He said, the squadron motto is this, knowledge disperses fear. Wow. Knowledge disperses fear. You see, Not knowing something can lead you into a lot of trouble. Yes? Or embarrassing moments. But knowing something has the power to change your life and disperse fear. You see, I'm preaching this morning because in a fearful generation, the knowledge of God disperses fear. Yes, I'm preaching. Come on. The knowledge of God disperses fear over your life. And so I'm very enthusiastic this morning to bring God's word. Because we're going to look at God's word. And if we get it on the screen, I know we looked at it last time, but we're going to look at it again because I want you to get to know it so well that it changes your life. Yes? Because we're not speaking about human argument here. We're speaking about the very word of God for your life. You see, what the main heart of this verse is this. Paul's saying, if you don't know this verse, if you don't know this in your heart, it's going to get you into trouble. Yes? If you know this in your heart, it has the power to disperse fear and change your life this morning. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. This is how amazing. This is how amazing these verses are. So we're going to look at it this morning. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in, other versions say rejoice, and we boast this morning, and we rejoice this morning in the hope of the glory of God. You see, this is it this morning. If you understand this, that through Jesus Christ, we looked at standing in love, yes? And if we believe this morning that Jesus died because he loved us, we stand in love. And through believing in the cross, we've been made innocent and guiltless. Everyone say amen. Amen. Not what we've done, but through what Jesus did. And therefore, because we're guiltless and innocent this morning, and if you've turned up right now and you say, Andy, I've never felt guilt over anything, over nothing I've ever done. I want to say, it's relax. The Holy Spirit's not talking to you. But I want to say this morning, if God starts speaking to you, yes, you start to feel a bit uncomfortable. What did Isaiah say? I saw the Lord. And what was his reaction? I said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. When you come to the Lord, the sin bugs you. Yes? When the closer I am to God, sin bugs me, church. And I've got to deal with it. If you feel this morning that sin's bugging you, then God's hello, God's talking. Don't turn it down. Celebrate. God is talking to you. Because he wants to bless your life. So we stand in love. And this morning, through Christ, we can be justified, made innocent, yes? And guiltless of all the wrong that we've said and done. Yes? And so we stand there. And what does that mean? It means now we have peace with God. Because we've got peace with God. So when I walk into God's presence, we're cool. We're friends. There's no awkwardness. Yes, it's not like walking in and there's a bit of tension because people's fallen out. No, I stand. I'm cool with God. Through Jesus, I have peace with God. And because I have peace with God now, it affects my eternity. Yes? Because sin's no longer on me, therefore the grass cannot hold me. And because I have peace, then I gain access into, by faith, into grace, which is now we can step into the manifestation of the favor of God. And because we have gone, we've received love, we're now at peace, now we step into grace. Now that means that now we know where we stand. What's the result of knowing where you stand? And now we boast. And now we rejoice. Yes. What do we rejoice in? The hope of the glory of God. Come on. Come on, the hope of the glory of God. And this morning, we've looked at standing. We stand in love. We've looked at standing in peace. We've looked at standing in grace. And now we're going to look this morning at standing in hope. This morning, hope this morning. We stand in hope. St- standing in hope, listen, my heart church, should change your life. See, the dictionary definition of hope says this, because this is, it was theological caviar. If we get the verse back on, thank you. This is theological caviar. We need to get a grasp. You see, the meaning of hope means the feeling, everyone say feeling. The feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Yes? Now, we live in a generation right now where everybody is ruled by feelings. Yes? And this is the truth of the church. This transformational truth of God this morning should change how you feel. It should change how you feel about your life, about your work, about your health, about every aspect of your life. Because of this verse, we now stand in hope. You see, you go to the doctors, and I'm not against medication, but people are popping pills left, right, and center. When actually, if we understand this, it will change you from the inside out and how you see your life. Yes? Amen. Standing in hope changes your life. It changes our lives. I'm going to use a football example, but please stay with me if you hate football. Sorry, Caroline, my sister. She grew up watching football. She hates football. You see, this is hope. How hope changes your life. Stay with me. You see, I've played football for 25 years of my life, and now I'm retired. Thank the Lord. Yes? And there's nothing worse than playing on a football team, and it's happened to me a few times, where you're playing and you know there is no hope of you scoring. Yes? The worst thing that can happen to a football team is this, is you stop hoping that you are going to get breakthrough. You stop hoping that you're going to score a goal, it's going to change the game. Yes? The worst thing, because this is what happens. As a centre midfield player, and stay with me if you're not into football, but one of the main jobs a centre midfield player gets the ball that I used to get in my heyday is that you would look, you would lift your head up, and you would look, and you would see who was making the runs. Yes? And whoever was making the runs, you just smash it, you know, you do a beautiful ball. In my head, it often happens like that, you know. Talk to someone who played with it, it's another story. Just hit and hope, but no. And then... you would watch the winger get the ball, and when they would cut inside, and then if you're living in hope, yes, you start running into the penalty box. When you have no hope, you get the ball, you don't look up, you look down, and you take the easy option, and you just pass it to either a moaning centre-half, yes, or one of your right or left backs, yes, or the goalkeeper. And instead of running forward, you just think, well, we're not going to score anyway, so why bother? Yes? Are you with me? And that's the same principle in your life this morning. You see, this is the truth. Hope creates expectation, and expectation creates movement, and movement creates you getting into a position where God can use your life. That is why we need hope. Yes? Yes? Everyone with me this morning? Yes. You see, right now, you may feel that your life is hopeless, but if you believe that Jesus, through faith this morning, that if he died for you, you may be facing whatever you're facing this morning, but if you really believe that Jesus died by the power of God, raised him to life, that you've been justified, got peace this morning, that you've stepped into the favor of God, it's impossible, church, for you not to wake up this morning and say, this is going to be the best day ever.
Come on.
Yes? I'll explain it this, that hope creates expectation, expectation creates movement, and movement gets you into position for breakthrough.
Yes?
Romans 4 says this, I don't know if we've got it on the screen, have we? I'm not sure. Don't worry if you haven't, but it says this, against all hope, Romans 4, I'm going to say that again. Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope. Hopeless, gone. Against all hope, Abraham hoped and believed. Yeah. Amen. Against all hope, God needed a man against all hope who continued to believe in hope. Yeah. That against all hope, you know what? I'm still going to believe. Yeah. Yes? I'm still going to believe that God's got a plan for my life. Yeah. I may have come in brokenhearted this morning, but I believe my God is a God who heals me. Yes. And I'm not going to quit right now because it's not the end right now. No. But I'm going to keep journeying with God and with my faith. You see, against all hope, Abraham hoped. Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of nations. We live in a world where everybody wants to become someone. Yes, you see, the power to become a successful pastor, a power to become a successful parent, a power to become the best teacher in the world, the power to become church is from a man. God needed someone who needs to be the father of many nations. His father, Abraham. Without Abraham, we're not here. And it took one man who understood this and lived with hope that against all hope, still hoped, yes, and believed, and God became. He became the father of many nations. I want to say this morning, if God is going to use your life, he's going to put you in hopeless situations so it will test your heart to still have hope when it's hopeless, so you become the person that God has called you to be. Come on, church, let's give God some praise. Amen. Just as it said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, this is talking about Abraham again. He faced the fact. Ooh, ouch. Yeah. He faced the facts. I love men and women of God who face the facts. Stare the facts down and keep believing. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amazing. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. This is why you can't keep Abraham down.
Yeah.
Yeah? He's over 100 years old saying, God, I'm still up for it. Yeah. I'm waiting for you to give me the ball because I'm going to score today.
Come on.
Yes?
Yeah.
He's still believing.
Yeah.
That's why he's the father of nations. Yes? Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise. Stop wavering.
Yeah.
Yes? Get it together. But he was strengthened by his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised.
Yeah.
I want to say this morning, Abraham is 100 years old. People are saying to him, you're never going to score. You're never going to score. You're never going to score. And Abraham, 100 years old, he's still making those runs and saying, God, give me the ball.
Come on.
Yes. I want to be that type of person.
Yes.
Who keeps making the runs.
Yeah.
When you've done 50, it's called in the football world, it's called doggy runs, where you're running around and you don't get the ball. But someone who's going to keep making the runs. That's what hope does in your life. You see, some people that use this phrase, why do they always score in football? And the reason why some people always score, because they always have hope, which creates expectation. And expectation creates movement, and that movement gets them into a place for breakthrough. You see, some people say, why does God always bless that person? Why does God bless that person? And God never, ever blesses me. Well, because God will give you things where he wants you to be, not where you are. Yes? Because if he gives you everything where you are, it doesn't require any faith. Yes? And I'm not going to give the ball where you are. But I'm going to, if I'm passing it and I'm passing someone in, I'm putting it ahead of you. So you've got to show some belief and have some hope that you're going to get on the end of that ball. Yes, come on, let's give God some praise this morning. And I love it that Abraham scores in the Champions League final. Yes. and changes mankind. Because without Abraham's faith, Jesus would not have come. And if Jesus didn't come, then we'd all be sat here this morning. Well, we wouldn't be here. There's no point for church. And trust me, you might not think that's powerful, but when you die, trust me, that is going to be incredibly powerful when you understand the faith of Abraham. Yes, you see, I could go on and on about people in the Bible who had little hope, yet something inside them, because they understood the verse, that something they kept hoping for a better day. Yes, it made them feel alive. It made them feel excited, anticipating what God's going to do. Yes, or have you just fallen this morning? You know what? I'm just. God's never going to do anything for me. God's forgotten about me. You know, the BMW club, the blamers, moaners, and whingers. Yes, because it's an English culture thing. Yes, and we've got to speak into our culture. I had a BMW. I love BMWs. I'm not. If you've got a BMW, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, it's just an analogy. And we've got to battle it. Because can we put that verse again? Therefore, I'm working you hard. Sorry, tech team. But I read, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. We're living in the manifestation favor of God, the God of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Ancient of Days. And because of that, whatever we face in, now in which we stand, and now we boast and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is why whatever we face, we can always rejoice. That is why this morning we can come to church, and that is why you might think I'm a bit of a lunatic, but I raise my hands in worship and I praise Him. And I drive to church this morning speaking in tongues, and I'm saying, God, you're going to do amazing things today. Why? Because of everything you've already done. Yes? Amen. 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 Right, I've got to get a move on. You see, it's not just about a living hope. It's great that we stand in hope for our lives, but it goes further than that this morning. We have an eternal hope.
Yes, we do.
Yes? We have an eternal hope. You see, I want you to understand this, because when you have a revelation of this, you will understand this. When it's all through Jesus Christ, whatever you face in your life, wherever you may move to the dark side of the moon, whatever, I always want you to remember, you see, when you understand this, you will understand this, is that there's no one like our God. You can search and do whatever you want to do, but there's no one like our God. You see, in a world full of noise and a church, I'm talking world church now, global church, the church is making a lot of noise, which is some of it's good. But I want to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
New Horizon is a church that talks about Jesus.
That's right.
See, people say, I don't get Jesus. I want to say this morning, if we understand this, Jesus is the most attractive thing. Yes. The church thinks Jesus is unattractive. What's this is the most amazing, attractive, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about his physical appearance. I'm talking about him as a person.
Yeah.
It's the most amazing person, the amazing God that we'll ever see and ever meet. Amen?
Yeah.
You see, we have an eternal hope. Romans 8, verses 3-8 says this. And stay with me, because this is again theological caviar, but we're going to go there. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Are you in Christ Jesus? How do I know if I'm in Christ Jesus? Have you said, God, I'm becoming a Christian today. I'm sorry for my sin, and I'm believing in you this morning. And if that's you, then you are in Christ Jesus. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death this morning. Okay.
Amen.
He set you free.
Yeah.
You see, what you need to understand, like Matrix, like Neo, is it Neo did in the Matrix?
Yeah, yeah.
He broke the system.
He did.
There's no one like our God. When Jesus died on that cross and he rose again, he broke the system, church. You see, because sin came into the world through mankind, Jesus had to come and he had to break the system. Yes? And so now it says that through Jesus Christ, he has broken the law of sin. And if God has broken the law of sin, meaning that our sins can be forgiven, if he's broken that sin, it means that God has broken the grave.
Amen.
Yes? God has broken the grave over your life this morning. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. I'm preaching better than that you're responding. Yeah? Come on. Because this is... I don't want none of you to meet God and say, Pastor Andy never told me about this. I want to say, I want to see you in heaven.
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah. It's my responsibility to give you everything you need. So you don't stand at the pearly gate and say, Pastor Andy never told me about this. Because when you say, when you understand that what Jesus did broke sin over your life and broke the grave over your life, it's impossible for me never to, I can always praise God, church.
Yeah.
I can. And I'm sorry if you find it difficult. And I've had difficult seasons in my life. Yeah, try being a pastor in ministry for 15 years. You'll know. But I'm sorry, I cannot not praise God.
So
I cannot not praise or pray to God. And you have to break through, even when you're not feeling it, even when you know you really don't want to go to church. That's the time when you go to church.
Yes, yes.
When you don't really, really, really want to pray, that's the time when you start praying. When you really don't want to praise, I've got nothing to praise God about. I want to say Romans 8 argues with that.
Yeah.
And says, I'm going to get my praise
yes.
on.
Yeah.
Yes? What did Paul and Silas do? In the jail, serving God, doing God's will.
Yeah.
They're in jail. Yeah? Keeping company with the rats. This is my challenge, and I'm very passionate about the UK and England. But if there was from Britain, they'd be, oh, God didn't turn up, did he? Oh, food's a bit rubbish in here. These rats have got no personality. Let's exchange them for someone else. I don't know. These chains are a bit sore. Yeah. What's your prison? Work, family, health, discouragement, insecurity, addiction, whatever it is this morning. What did Paul and Silas? They said it's time to praise. And they started to praise and they started to sing. And what happened? There was an earthquake.
Yeah.
And something broke over their lives. You see, we serve a God that can break things over your life this morning. You see, this is the truth. If God can break the grave, he can break your addiction.
Yeah.
If God can break the grave this morning, yeah, he can break sin over your life that's got a hold on.
Yeah.
If God can break the grave, and I'll go there, he can break your depression.
Yeah.
If God can break the grave, he can break things over your life. And I'm praying this morning that God will break things over your life this morning.
Yeah.
Because we serve a God that breaks things. He broke the power of sin and the grave. And that's why this morning, church, because of this, and because of what it says in these verses, I'm always going to praise God. I'm always going to keep hoping.
Yeah.
Yes? Because the church without any hope is finished.
Yeah.
Because this is our message.
Come on.
I'm getting passionate now. Because we live in a world that's got no hope.
Yeah.
And God's saying, church, come on, get your hope back.
Yeah.
Yes?
Come on.
You know, when I'm a Christian, I feel like I'm playing football with the best centre forward in the universe. Because you may be playing and you think, I'm getting no results. And then the star man, and sometimes there's always a star man, the 35 goal a season man comes on the team. And all of a sudden it changes how you think. And right now you've got the opportunity in your mess, in your prison, in your life. You can say, God, I'm inviting you into my life. And I believe that by you being on the pitch of my life, everything's going to change. Because no defender can cope with you. Yes, because God breaks every chain and brings breakthrough. But we have an eternal hope. Jesus broke the system. That's why when Billy Graham passed away last year. Before he died, he's always said this throughout his ministry. He said, someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word. I shall be more alive than I am now. And I will have just changed address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Amen. Therefore, we stand in hope this morning. It's not just about changing your life right now. God, I'm believing God can change your life right now, but God's going to change your life for all eternity. You know, we live in a generation that's all obsessed with today and now. No one thinks about the future. I want to say God thinks about now, but he's thinking about the future of your life. And he's working it all out if you're staying faithful to him. Yes? Knowing where you stand. You see, how do you feel this morning? How do you feel? How do you feel? Well, I'm not feeling very good about my life. I'm not. And trust me, I can get there if you know me. I'm more melancholy as a person. But something inside me has to kick in. Yes? Because when you live with hope, it just changes what you see. Yeah? If you live in hope, the way you see this church will change. It'll be the same church. The way you see your marriage, if you're living in hope, will change how you see your marriage. The way how you see your business, it will change. Because when there's hope in a football team, you can just smell it. Yes? You can smell it on people. I employ those people because I can smell it in them. Come on. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. How am I going to land this morning? And we're going to finish. See, God wants to make you feel. It's not all about feelings, but the truth. This truth. Come on, church. This truth has got to change how you feel. It's got to change how you feel. How you feel. Yeah, but life's rubbish, and now I know it can be challenging, but come on. I have peace with God. God's my friend. When everyone's against me, he's for me. He's my friend. And not just my friend, but he's empowered me. I step into the grace that accesses manifestation of his favor. Heaven is going to resource my life. Heaven. God himself is going to resource my life. And because of that truth, whatever I face, whatever army I face, I then can have hope this morning. Yes? And we rejoice and we boast in the glory. I'm sorry I'm getting excited, but I boast in the glory of the hope of God. Amen. Forgive my passion or not, however I'm preaching. I want to finish with this. Conclusion and application. This is great, Andy, but how is this? How do I apply this to my life? See, this is an important subject, and I'll finish with this. You see, have we got the Luke chapter 15 reading? Don't worry if not. We have. Brilliant. Before I read it, just listen, just so you know the context. In Luke chapter 15, we find a man this is the example of the story. It's a metaphor, but we find a man. Jesus tells this parable, and it's about a man, or it could be a woman, who's a Christian and who's in church. Yeah? Because the other son, we know, is the prodigal son that's messed up. But this man's representing the man or the woman in church who's a Christian. And how not knowing Romans 8 has an incredible negative effect on your life, even in a Christian sat in church. See, Luke 15 says this, 28. The older brother became angry. This is when there's a party in the prodigal son's, yeah? And those parties going off. Something amazing has just happened. Some people are not happy about it. Yeah? When God does something amazing, some Christians are not happy about it. Yeah? I'm not saying we're a church like that. Yeah? Because God's going to speak to you right now. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. To go into the party. His father said, come to the party. He said, no, I'm not going to the party. Wow. So his father went out. His father left the party, and he had to go and address this. So he had to leave the party, and he had to address something. And the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Ah. Oh. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, ouch, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Verse 31, it's going to chop you in half this morning. This is what God says. My son, the father said, you are always with me. I'm talking to the church now. Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Did you hear that, church? Everything I have, everything that God has is yours, is mine and yours this morning. Is yours. I want to say, I want to get a full revelation of that over my life. But we have had to celebrate. We have to celebrate and be glad because this, your brother of yours, was dead and alive. He was lost and now found. See, this is the truth. If we live without hope, as men and women of God, keep this verse on. I'm just going to run through it dead quick. But we live with a moaning spirit, is moaning. We live with an ungrateful spirit. We live with a jealous spirit. It's a cancer of any church. We live with a reluctant spirit. If I have to. Yeah? You've done that, tidy your room. If, oh, I'm not tidying my room. We live with a rebellious spirit. No. I want to say this morning, the world loves the rebel. I want to say in church very kindly, if you have a rebellious spirit, and I mean this, you read the Bible for yourself. God will never, ever, ever use your life. It's impossible to be a rebel. I was a big rebel, and God had to deal with me. Yes? We serve with a self-centered spirit. It's all about me. That's what the world's going to tell us every day. We live with a critical spirit and a slanderous spirit. Yeah. And he couldn't see what he had. He didn't know what he had. But this is the truth, church. It says, however, when we understand that God is always with us and everything that is God's is ours. We're millionaires, church. We are. When we stand in love and stand in peace, stand in grace and stand in hope, you see, a moaning spirit, when we understand this, Romans 8, a moaning spirit, God will change it to a rejoicing spirit. Yeah, I've got some tough things, but you know what? I'm going to rejoice that I have hope because my future is not in my boss's hands. My future is in God's hands. Yes, he's the author and perfecter of my faith. I'm putting my hope on God right now, and I can moan, or I'm going to rejoice and say, I'm going to rejoice despite my situations. I'm going to rejoice because everything that is God is I've got. Yes? Instead of an ungrateful spirit, we have a worshiping spirit.
Yes.
We choose to worship despite our feelings. If your worship's feeling-based, then, whoa, you're not going to make it, church. You're not going to see breakthrough in your life. You got to worship despite some stuff. Instead of a jealous spirit, be careful of a jealous spirit because it will destroy your life. Yes? Because it's stupid, if I can say it like that, because John the Baptist says this, only a man can receive what God's given him. Yeah? So stop trying to get what God's not given to you and given to someone else. Just find out what God's given you. Yeah? Waste of your time. I'm finished in 2 minutes. You see, God will change a reluctant spirit into a willing spirit. Yeah? I'm always willing, church. Yeah? Do you know why I'm a senior pastor? I've been here for 11 years in April. Because I'll do whatever it takes. I'm just willing. God, ask me to do what I do. I'm going to do it. Who needs help? Who needs advice? I'm just willing. Yeah? Willing spirit. God, if we understand what we spoke about, will change a rebellious spirit into a teachable and a following spirit. Yeah? Say, God, I'm going to do some following. Yeah? Come on, take yourself off the throne. You can do it. Say, God, I'm talking to the church now. This message is not for the lost, it's for the church. Just take yourself off the throne. Just follow God. Listen to advice. Some of it might be hard. You might need to change. But come on. Change a self-centered spirit where it's all about me into a God-centered spirit. A God-centered spirit. You know why I've turned up this morning? You know why? Because, yeah, it's not my job that turns me up, makes me turn up. It's because that we live in a broken world. And if you're listening on podcasts, I believe God's got a plan for your life no matter what your past. I've turned up this morning because God wants stuff. Yeah? And whatever God wants, that's it. That's me. I'm done. Not complicated. Instead of a critical spirit, which everyone's a judge and jury now in the media, on TV. Yeah? And we have a cynical mindset and a critical spirit. No. Sometimes things need to be said from a good place. That's not criticism. But an encouraging spirit. Yeah. Oh, Lynn's got a word. Great. An encouraging spirit. You want to be encouraged, you need to do some encouragement. Yeah. An encouragement. You reap what you sow. Yeah. Don't become critical. In my journey in ministry, I've seen people become critical. And you know when people become a critical spirit, they can't stay in church. You can't do it. Because it kills you. It kills your spirit. You don't live with hope. Say, come on. Come on, UK. Come on, UK church. Yeah? You with me? An encouraging spirit. See, when we know where we stand, God can bless our lives. Yeah? So this morning, I want you to get it in your spirits, is that we can stand in love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, we stand in love, we stand in peace, that we've been justified, made innocent and guiltless. And because of that, now we stand in grace, the manifestation of the favor of God. And because of that fact, and because of that unshakable, unchangeable, unparalleled truth in our lives, this is what the church should do. Now we rejoice and we boast in the hope, because we don't just serve a God this morning of restoration, but we serve a God of resurrection. Yeah? We serve a God of resurrection. And I finish with this. It's like Jesus said, and we read it in the Bible, and sometimes we don't know what it's about, where Jesus says to the woman who comes to the tomb, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" That wasn't a compliment. That was saying, "What are you doing here? You stood in the wrong place. You're in the wrong position. You got no hope. You should have been waiting for me. You should have had your champagne glasses out saying, non-alcohol maybe, but you should have been there waiting for me to come out saying, 'Jesus, come on, you said you're going to rise in 3 days. I'm expecting you.'" And God says, why are you looking for me in these places? I'm not in here, because I am where you need to be. You need to have some faith and some hope, because when you do, God is going to meet you and he's going to do things in your life. Let's stand, and we're going to pray. We're done. Lynn's just got a word. Come forward, Lynn. Do you want that one? Yes, I'll do it for me.
Just as Andy was saying about the ball being passed to where you're going, not where you are, God just reminded me about the scripture in 1 Kings 17, where he told Elijah to go to the valley, the river, Kareen Ravine, and where God was going to feed him. But if Elijah had stayed where he was, that's not where the provision was. He had to go there. And I just feel that's a real word for somebody, that your provision is there. Keep that hope, keep that movement. It might be provision, it might be a door opening, it might be opportunity, but keep your hope, keep your expectation. God has good things.
Amen. Let's give God praise. Okay. Let's pray, and then we're done. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning, for you are good,
yes,
and your love endures forever. And so I pray for this church, New Horizon Church, that we will always rejoice and boast in the hope of the glory of God. Lord, I just pray as this community comes in that they will smell our hope off a mile away. Lord, I just pray if we speak about you, Jesus, and all that you have done, that you will flood this place with empty vessels where people can be fed, people can be reached, people can be blessed. We ask this in your name, the name that is above every name, the name that is the name only the name that's only worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration, the name of Jesus Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.